I appreciate Brother Jordan. Thank God for Brother Jordan. He's the guy that takes care of our finances. And, you know, he is as comfortable with finances as I am sitting down to Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, it's just not a problem. It's no sweat. It's, you know, you ask him a question, bing, here it is. And, I mean, just, I appreciate the ministry. He's our minister of finance, and that is a big, big job, and I really appreciate that. We came back from the last trip we were gone. We were gone 5 weeks, and the Lord blessed. We had a really, really good trip, but we were ready to come back. 5 weeks is a long time on one trip, but 1,600 miles and. We had 14 people. We saw 14 people get saved. But and a lot of people, a lot of Christians getting stirred up. You know, the Lord's doing some great things in our country, but we don't hear about it. You know, we don't know. But God is working, doing some great things. This morning I want to preach a little bit about the valleys. The Bible talks a lot about valleys, and before we begin, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we love you this morning, and Lord, I pray this morning that you would take control of this service, and Holy Spirit, I pray you would do the work that only you can do, and Lord, I don't want to try to do your work, but I want you to bless, and I want you to do what needs to be done. Take the word, I pray, this morning, and plant it deep in our soul, and Lord, help us to understand some things. Just simple truth. Lord, simple truth is what we need. Simple truth is what we've gotten away from. And I pray this morning you would bless. Now have your will and way. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. Many things in the Bible, you know, many things happen in valleys. In Genesis 26, Isaac's servants digged in the valley, and they found there a well of springing water. Now we live in the valley. We live in the Matanuska Valley, and a lot of farmland and different things out there. But a lot of good things happen in the valleys. In Numbers 32, the Bible says they went up to the Valley of Eshcol and saw the land. They discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. There's a lot of discouragement in the valley, and you know your heart gets discouraged and. I talked with Betty's sister yesterday, Carol, and her husband Nathaniel, our brother-in-law. He had a stent put in a aneurysm in his heart, and when he come out of the surgery, he's completely paralyzed from his neck down. And I talked to Carol yesterday, and she is very discouraged. And he's in another hospital now in critical care, and he's got some kind of a bacterial infection in his blood. He's got urinary tract infection. He's got all kinds of infections going through his body now. He's running a fever. So there's, you know, pray for Nathaniel if you think of him, and pray for Carol. It's, you get in these valleys and you get discouraged and it gets kind of rough. In Joshua 7, talks about the Valley of Achor. And Joshua said, verse 24, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned him with fire. After that, they had stoned him with the stones. It was Achan, his family, and all that he had. He had stole, he had disobeyed God, and God said, "I'm done with this. You're not doing this again." So there was death in the valley. 1 Samuel 6, it says, "And they of Bethshemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley." So there's a harvest in the valley. The Bible says a lot about the harvest. But when we come, turn your Bibles if you would to Ezekiel chapter 37, we come to a different valley here. Ezekiel chapter 37, this valley is just way different than any other valley found in the Word of God. "The hand of the Lord was upon me," verse 1, "and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which is full of bones. And caused me to pass by round about, and behold, there were many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, canst thou, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, as he commanded me, and breath came into them. And they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. The word of the Lord came unto him, came again unto me, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick, write upon it for Judah and one for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph and the stick of Ephraim for all the house of Israel, his companions. And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. Listen, everything started in Israel, and everything's going to end in Israel. And God loves the nation of Israel, and God wants, just like God loves the nation of America. And God wants to bless the Israelites, and God wants to bless us. But there's only one God, and there's only one way to get to heaven. There's one Bible. Our God is one God. Three different persons, but yet there is one God. But this is a vision of Israel, and it's a vision of a resurrection. A people that died, but God said they would live again. Verse number 11, he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of the graves, bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. What God says he will do, he will do. He will perform it. But the resurrection he's talking about here, this vision of the resurrection from the dead back to life, is so utterly unknown to nature. We wouldn't know anything about a resurrection if it were not for the Word of God. Because that doesn't happen. It can happen. We'd have no thought of it. We'd have no thought of it were it not for the Bible. These bones were not placed in a heap, but scattered on the ground, disjointed, dispersed, and very dry. Exposed to the sun, the wind. We've been working on our cabin this week, and those logs exposed to the sun and the wind, and I mean, they're dry. They're very dry. And so you got to, we got to put some life back into them. But I'm putting life back into my logs on my cabin, and I took some of it out of my body. So I got 600 milligrams of Motrin to get me going again here. But at one point, that these bones were moistened by marrow. They were covered with skin and full of life, but now they're dry as dust. Now, this is a true picture of what I'm seeing in the church in America. Last year, I retired in August 23rd and became a church evangelist. Now, I had to step down from being pastor. But I had to step back up. I had to step down so I could step back up into doing what God wants me to do now. I love our church, and God has done great things in my life, my wife, our family, through our church. But God's called me to evangelism. Now, I surrendered when I was in Bible college over 40 years ago to be a missionary evangelist. And I came here. God made me pastor of this church, and we worked here for years before I came, we started this church, but now I'm back into being a church evangelist. So, but what I'm reading here, you know, this is a true picture of the church today: disjointed, dispersed, and very dry. The church today, as a whole, what I've been seeing. Now, you get in some churches like ours, and but even in our church, there's folks suffering from the same thing. Just very dry. Everything doesn't fit together, you know, and there's all kinds of issues. In chapter 39, God promised Gog and Magog that they're going to be dead. They're going to be dead, and it's going to be now this resurrection stuff here, like this, like we're talking about here, until they're resurrected and put into hell and into the lake of fire. But in chapter 39, in verse 12, it says, 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying them, and they shall cleanse the land. 7 months. This, they're going, just burying bodies for 7 months. That's going to be a lot of bodies. But the bones of Israel here are in the open valley under the eye of heaven, and for there's hope and they're in. There's going to be a resurrection here for them. And listen, we have a hope that this world knows nothing about. Now, there's going to be a resurrection to eternal damnation. You know, people die, and you die as a Christian, as a child of God, and you're absent from the body and present with the Lord, but our bodies will be buried in the ground. We've got a cemetery up the camp, and those folks at the camp, when the Lord comes back, he's going to call us out. We're going to be a resurrection, and we'll meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And but our bodies are coming out of the grave, and our body, soul, and spirit will be united, and everything's good, and no back pain, no heart attacks, no, you know, you won't sit around talking about your cholesterol. And, you know, when you're a teenager, you talk about pretty girls and hot cars. You get to be my age, you're talking about cholesterol and back problems and, you know, what does your chiropractor do? And but the bones of Israel, they had hope. Ezekiel 37:3, he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Now, my second point here is, the man of God did not limit God. Oh, no, Lord. I mean, these bones can't live again. Have you ever been out moose hunting, caribou hunting, or whatever, and especially where caribou migrate through and you find all these bones laying everywhere? Well, can you imagine? Is these caribou going to live again? No. But this is God asking the man of God, and I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. He had enough sense to, don't tell God this can't happen. You know, there are things in your life, and you say, well, this can't happen. Don't tell God, you know, listen, the man of God did not limit the Holy One of Israel. How many times have I been told, we'll never see revival in America. We'll never see another. America's gone too far. America's gone over the cliff. America's already gone to hell. Just let her go. Do you understand what you're saying when you say that? Take my grandchildren. Take my great-grandchildren. Do with them as you please. America's too far gone. It's not even worth fighting for anymore. No, America is worth fighting for. And our children, our grandchildren, our church is worth fighting for. It's worth standing up for. People are repenting of their sin in different places and getting saved. And folks are repenting of their sin, getting right with God. And starting to, you know, get back on the firing line for God. And there's, but people all know we'll never see any kind of revival. And, we have become like these dry bones, dry and dead in our churches. And it's because a lot of times it's preaching that this can't happen. But Ezekiel said, Lord God, thou knowest. God's asked me if these bones can live again. Now, God can do anything that God wants to do. And our God is quite capable of doing whatever needs to be done. So, God is pleased to put these bones back together and make everything work. Now, I believe if we would start seeing, stop taking the limits off of God and preaching what God cannot do, but just preach what the Word of God says and let God do whatever God wants to do. But we get focused on the negative, and then we're preaching the negative, and nothing is happening. Why? Because they're getting more discouraged. They're getting more discouraged. Why America's going to hell? There can never be a revival, and why am I even here? And no one's getting saved anymore. Why do we even go soul winning? I believe if we would stop telling God and telling people what God cannot do, and just let God do what God wants to do, new life would come back into our churches. New life would come back into us. You know, but for this to happen, men of God must stop limiting God. Lord God, thou knowest. Can these bones live? Oh, now you imagine a whole valley. I mean, there's been a great slaughter here. And there are just bones everywhere. Michael had a game I didn't realize we had dinosaurs roaming around the camp, but we did. And Michael found bones out there, all the camp kids, and they put them together. And sure enough, it was a dinosaur down there by the ball field. So I got my gun loaded now, so in case we see any more of them. Remember, God can do anything God wants to do. I don't know what you're facing today, but God can take care of it, whatever it is. Whatever need you may have, God can take care of that. God, there's nothing that He can't do. My God shall supply all my need, anytime, anywhere. But we've got to get some new life back into our churches. You know, one of the things that I've been praying about is we need some young preachers. We need some new churches. We need new life. I mean, we need some teenagers getting on fire for God and going for God, surrendering their life to God. A young man down at Kenai came, he was, I think, 15 years old, and he said, I gave my life to the Lord. And he saw our presentation, the video, where Levi was giving out tracts to them soldiers, and he was weeping, sobbing. And he said, I've never given out one gospel tract. And that little kid was giving them to everybody. Wasn't even ashamed. God raised up some young men. And God put the fire back in our bones as should be. Now, there was two things that Ezekiel was supposed to do. One, he was supposed to preach. Prophesy. You prophesy. Seven times in this one little portion of Scripture, he said, prophesy. Verse number 4, and he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God to these bones, upon these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. Behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bones. Imagine you're preaching to a bunch of dead bones, dry bones. There's no blood on the place. These are just dead, dried up, dead for a long time bones. And God says, preach to them. And boy, you say, okay, Lord. But you're going to do it. But in your mind, now I'm thinking, if it was me, I'd be thinking, I hope nobody's around here. God said, and I know it's going to work, but I'm looking at all these dead bones laying all over the place. So I'm preaching. So I start preaching, and all of a sudden, they start moving. I think, oh man. And the more I preach, their bones are coming together. All the bones are coming together. That had to get a man of God excited. I mean, you're preaching to all these dead bones. And I wish somebody was here to see this. You see, your whole attitude changed then. But where was I here? Let me find my spot here. But like the church today, he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, I say, Verse 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost and we are cut off for our parts. And God's answer to this, this is the whole house of Israel. And they're saying, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. And God's answer, therefore, in verse 12, prophesy. Preach to them. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of the graves. And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Listen, nothing but an active faith in the power, the promises, and the providence of God is going to cause this kind of thing to happen. People are so beat down, they're quitting. They're giving up. Preachers are quitting the ministry, because nothing's happened. There's a bunch of dead bones in there, nothing happened. But listen, if we would just stay faithful and keep preaching and let God do what God wants to do, and all of a sudden there's going to come time, then bones are going to start moving if we will just be faithful. We've got to be faithful. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing what's going on in churches around us today. I read through this, and I thought, man, this just sounds like a whole lot of folks in we've been with. But today, you may be sitting here today, you have no spiritual life. You've never accepted Christ into your life. But you've got this desire. Now listen, last week, the Bible says here that Ezekiel prophesied as he was commanded. In verse number 10, So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Last Sunday, I was invited by a man who told me he's not a Christian. He said, I'm not a believer, but he said, I saw him in a restaurant, and he had a gun on his side. And I went over, he's paying for his bill, and he's carrying his gun open, and I went over to him, and I gave him a gospel tract. And I said, I appreciate you carrying your gun open like that. Now, there's a reason I say that, because somebody comes into a restaurant and they start shooting people, he's going to be the one they're going after first, because he's got a gun. Well, that gives me time to get my gun. But I told him, I said, I appreciate you. Unless our Second Amendment rights, people have got to start standing up. Now, these are lost people trying to do something for our country. But anyway, I went over, I gave him a tract, thanked him. 2 weeks later, he called me. He said, I'm John. He said, I met you at the restaurant. You gave me a tract and commented about, I said, yes, sir, I know who you are. And he said, I'm not a religious man. But he said, I'm thinking what you have is real. And he said, I know other people that I'm thinking what they have is real. And he said, I'm thinking, maybe I've been wrong. And he said, I want you to come and sermonize this group that I'm with. And I said, well, what group are you with? And it's a South Central Patriots or something like that. It's just a bunch of patriotic folks getting together, and they try to do community things, and they have black powder shoots and Civil War reenactments and whatever. But anyway, this I said, well, what do you want me to sermonize about? And he said, how did we get to where we are in America? And is there anything we can do to get out of it? Is there anything we can do to help for our nation? I said, I'll be there. So I went up, we drove up, and we took our truck. I'm glad we did. Of course, it's a patriotic truck, and it's jacked up, big mud tires on it. And I'm glad we had it, because we went back into this place. And so we go down this road and turn off here and go 4 or 5 miles and cross Montana Creek and go down there, and there'll be a flag by the road, and you turn in there, and you turn down this trail, and we drove back around. Anyway, so all these people are out there, and he said, we'll have church down in this wall tent. So, I mean, it's raining, and nobody's stirring, and, you know. But anyway, finally, about 9 o'clock, people start moseying down into that wall tent. And they ended up, there's about 30 of them in the tent. And three men in that tent got saved. And I was very glad that I prophesied as I was commanded. And three men got saved and one woman. And the man, John, the man that invited me to this thing, he was one of the men that got saved. And but listen, we've got to start preaching as God, when God wants His preachers to preach. We've got to preach. And there's two things He was supposed to do. One was to preach, and number two, we've got to pray. We've got to pray. He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. He's praying. You know, God talks to me right here, and I talk to Him on my knees. God speaks to me, and I answered Him. I've got to pray. I've got to talk to Him. And Ezekiel is talking. He answered God, and he said, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Now, you know, why aren't we seeing more people saved in our nation? I believe our problem is we talk to sinners about God before we talk to God about sinners. You're going to go out door knocking today. Listen, you ought to talk to God about the people you're going to meet today. Instead of going and talking to them about God, talk to God about them now, and then go talk to them about God. And I think we'll see things start happening. I think we'll see things. I think we're going to hear the shaking of the bones. And listen, we've got to preach. We've got to preach, and we've got to pray. God's grace can save sinners without my preaching, but my preaching cannot save a soul without the grace of God. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Because you can't get saved just anytime you want to. The Spirit of God works on your heart, and the Spirit of God begins to draw you, and you hear preaching, and you just got a spark of desire. I want something. John, last Sunday, John had a desire to know God, to know more about God, how did we get to where we are in our country? I took him back to the book of Genesis. It all starts with a guy named Ishmael. And it's just working on and on, and now here we are today. I said, you know, the father of ISIS is Ishmael. The father of the suicide bombers, that's Ishmael. Why is Islam here? They're here to destroy the God of our nation. This is a spiritual war that we're in. And it goes back to Genesis. But I told them, folks, look, you need to stand up, and you want to help our country. We're where we are today because we've kicked God out of our country. You can preach all you want about Islam and talk about Allah and whatever, but even our military chaplains are forbid, for the most part, to you don't pray in the name of Jesus. You don't mention Jesus. You know what our answer to that ought to be? Jesus, 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 Jesus. Don't tell me I can't talk about Jesus. Listen, we've got to put God back where God ought to be. Our church today is in a lot of trouble. But it's because I think men of God have, you know, men of God get discouraged. And if you're not politically correct, we're going to take away your tax exemption. You've got to be politically correct. You want to be correct with the Word of God. Listen, I asked them folks up there the other day, I said, do you know what's buried in the foundation of Washington's monument? No. I said, there's a Constitution of the United States, there's a Declaration of Independence, and there's a King James Bible. I didn't know that. And I told them about the Capital Connection and all these things, and there's good things happening, but the church has got to, you know, if we would start preaching to these dry bones and raise up an army of God's army, then we're going to see things in our nation start happening. I believe we can see revival again. But we've got to stop, you know, putting the cuffs on God, and God can't do this, and God can't, we'll never see this, we'll never see that. God promised He would do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And God said, what He has spoken, He will perform it. Listen, today maybe you're not saved. Listen, you need to accept Christ this morning. You just need to forget your pride and just come and say, I want to be saved. There'll be people here can they set you down. No one's going to, you know, embarrass you. No one's going to laugh at you. And maybe this morning, though, you're like these bones laying in this valley. Just at one point, you were just full of spiritual life. I mean, the fire of God burned in your bones. But now, well, you're just very dry and lifeless, of no use. Now, listen, the Lord wants to change all that today. You still have eternal life. You don't lose eternal life. If you once had eternal life, you still have it. Now, you may be out of the will of God, and you're not living for God anymore, and the fire of God's not burning in your bones anymore, because you've walked away from God. God didn't walk away from you. And we've listened to all this negative, can't, God can't. And you've got to be politically correct. And it's making God sick, and it is the most sickening thing to see a preacher even, you know, trying to be politically correct. Look, I could marry two men if the one was there marrying two women. I don't have an issue with that. I don't have an issue with marrying two women as long as they're marrying two men. Just have a double ceremony. I am not politically correct. I will never be politically correct. I hope I die before I ever start compromising to that degree. I don't want to compromise at all, but I can't. But listen, when it's a slippery slope, and when you stop dropping the standards here, drop the standards here, pretty soon there are no standards. And pretty soon you find yourself in a place that you didn't think you would ever be. Maybe that's you this morning. And listen, God wants to put that fire back. God wants to use you in a mighty way. Now, I know most everybody in here, I mean, God is using you. He wants to use you more. But maybe you're just, you know, you're still kind of on fire for God, but not quite as where I used to be. That's a dangerous place to be. I don't ever want to go back to where I was. I want to keep moving forward. Now, if I'm staying the same, I'm holding my own, but when I realize that, and I realize I got to keep moving forward, those bones started coming together, and bone to bone. And when people in churches start getting on fire for God, all of a sudden it's just like the body of Christ, and everything starts coming together and fitting together and working. And all of a sudden, then the church is getting excited, and people that were going to quit, they're not quitting. Why? Because they're seeing God's working in your life. Listen, this thing of your testimony is so important to the work of God. We've got to keep preaching and keep praying. Friend, if God's speaking to your heart this morning, you need to answer Him. You need to answer Him. We get discouraged. Listen, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. My sister-in-law last night, she's telling me her husband is walking through this valley of the shadow of death. And she's discouraged. But listen, the Lord's still there. I said, Carol, the night before Nathaniel went in for the surgery, he told me, he said, Stan, this is a win-win situation. He said, if I make it, I win. If I don't make it, I win. And but listen, things go wrong, you get beat down. Years ago, I read this when I was in Bible college, and then I lost it, and then Shana gave it to me years ago. It says, when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when you're feeling low and the stress is high and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when worries are getting you down a bit, by all means pray and don't you quit. Success is failure turned inside out, God's hidden gift in the clouds of doubt. You never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So trust in the Lord when your heart is hit. It's when things go wrong that you must not quit. But we've got to stay in the battle. We've got to stay in the battle. And we got to preach to those dry bones. And pray that God will raise up these dry bones. And pray that God will do something with them. But listen, these dry bones don't have a prayer if we don't get right. See, God used Ezekiel to preach to these. And because of God's obedience, because he prophesied as he was commanded, and there was a shaking of the bones, a gathering of the bones. And next thing you know, he said, a great army stood up. Wouldn't it be something if all of a sudden this great army of God's people in America just stood up and said, this is the rule book right here, and we don't play by any other rules right here. I'm going to vote by the rule book. I'm going to walk. I'm going to live by the rule book, nothing else. Oh, man. I believe we can see another revival. I believe with all my heart and soul we can. Father, I love you, and I pray you'd bless the end.